20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Well, hello there. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you joining today. It's a fun one. We're going to be going over some defensive tackle options in the trade market, in the cut market, in the free agent market, just like we did for offensive line a couple days ago. This is a really important position for Green Bay. Regardless of whether they stay in a 4-3 or transition to a 3-4, they could really use a run-stuffing defensive tackle. We'll get into all of that momentarily. Before we get there, a couple pieces of news and notes. First of all, shout out to Bryson. Bryson, thank you so much for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate that a ton. Make sure to check out those options over on YouTube to become a member. Four different options available. You get members-only content, Q&As. We've got a Ross Uglum vid up this week. Matt Fralick interviewed the curator of the Packers Hall of Fame. That's up this week. And again, members Q&A every single week with yours truly. So make sure to check out those memberships. Meanwhile, awards ceremony on Thursday night. Not going to lie, didn't watch, didn't really care. It's fun to look at the results. Jaxon Smith-Njigba was Offensive Player of the Year. Matthew Stafford won MVP. No real Packers storylines here other than Micah Parsons finished third in Defensive Player of the Year voting. Have to think if he would have been able to finish the year, probably would have finished second, probably would have bumped him up a little bit. But Myles Garrett was more than deserving and expected to be the Defensive Player of the Year. Garrett was just a tick ahead of Parsons, even when both of them were healthy. So that's an understandable win and a deserved win for Myles Garrett. But strong finish for Micah Parsons, especially considering he missed as much time as he did to still finish third in the Defensive Player of the Year voting. Meanwhile, we do have a new personnel move presented by Habish Habish Rotier. Now, that move was the Packers hiring Noah Pauley as their new wide receivers coach. Spent time, well, just recently at Penn State, was supposed to go to Penn State to be their wide receivers coach, but prior to that was at Iowa State in the same position. Spent time at North Dakota State with Christian Watson there as the wide receiver coach. So Watson has that familiarity with him, which should come in very handy. Previously, last year, actually interviewed for the 49ers offensive coordinator position, is thought to be a young, bright, up-and-coming coach. Actually spent time in Green Bay with their minority coaching fellowship a couple years back as well. So this is somebody that spent time in Green Bay. My understanding is a Packers fan as well. A lot of Wisconsin connections this year in some of their new coaches, but I highly recommend checking out Ross Uglum. If you're on the audio side, it's over there for everybody. If you're on the video side, it's available for members only, but he breaks down the entire Pauley signing and what he can bring to Green Bay as a wide receivers coach. Cannot recommend it enough. So again, new wide receivers coach. Now with Pauley coming on, that means what happened to Ryan Mahaffey? Well, Mahaffey is now going to Philly as their tight ends coach and run game coordinator. This is an interesting move. Green Bay could have blocked this. There's always the confusion. If you are going for a promotion, you are not allowed to block it. So it sounds like, well, he's going from wide receivers coach to tight ends coach and run game coordinator. So promotion. It is a promotion, but run game coordinator or tight ends coach is not considered a, you know, one that you can't block for any sort of promotion. So Green Bay could have blocked that. They didn't. It's been really interesting to see Green Bay allow their coaches to go elsewhere. They haven't, by at least all reports, bought anybody out. They haven't fired anybody. But when there's been interest for any of these coaches to leave, they have allowed them to go. Now, some of this might be, again, that they viewed it as a pseudo promotion and maybe they were okay with that. But, you know, if you look at Ryan Downard, Downard is a equal level. Like they let him walk for an equal position. So it has been interesting. I don't know if, you know, maybe with some of the stuff that happened this past year and not maybe developing, Brian Gutekunst talked about that in his press conference. If maybe they wanted some new voices and they weren't opposed to some of these coaches looking elsewhere, I don't know if there was a nudge to say, hey, we actually think you guys, we're not going to fire you, but we would prefer that you go look elsewhere for a job. I don't know. Maybe with Mahaffey, it was simply, hey, he's got a great opportunity in Philly to get another title added to his current title. And I think, quite frankly, with his offensive line background, he probably fits better in a run game coordinator and tight ends coach position than he did at wide receivers coach. Either way, this is a really good move for Green Bay because you actually get an experienced wide receivers coach coaching the wide receivers. I know, mind-numbing as that might be, but I actually think this is going to work out very, very well for Green Bay. Meanwhile, just really quick, Jeff Stoutland, the Eagles all-world, all-everything offensive line coach. I mean, he is the best of the best. he is not going to be retained in Philly as offensive line coach. And they say they're going to keep him on, but reports are that he's going to look for offensive line coach or other jobs elsewhere. I cannot tell you enough. This would be arguably as big of a move that Green Bay could make this entire offseason. He is that good. I wholeheartedly believe that he would come in and make this offensive line really good, almost regardless of what they do in the draft, free agency, etc. He is that good. They probably need to bring back at least one piece and maybe hope for no major injuries. But, you know, I think he'd get the most out of Aaron Banks. I really do. I think he'd get the most out of Anthony Belton, Jordan Morgan. Zach Tom's already really good. And whether it's Sean Ryan or somebody similar, he would be the guy that would be able to come in and, to me, completely revitalize this offense and offensive line. If you're looking for new ideas, if you're looking for somebody that can come in and really not just X's and O's, but actually teach the technique that's needed, this would be it. There is no bigger move that I think Green Bay could probably make with where they're at from a draft and salary cap standpoint than bringing in Stoutland as an offensive line coach. I don't know what it would take to get it done. I don't know if you'd have to give him some sort of, you'd probably have to give him assistant coach at minimum and, you know, really, you know, boost his salary in a significant way. Do it. Do anything in your power to bring him in. That will be one of the most interesting signings of who gets him as a either offensive coordinator or offensive line coach. He would be unbelievable. And if they could somehow find a way to pull it off, it would be one of the coups of the offseason. Sincerely, he's that good. So name to keep an eye on. My guess is he probably doesn't end up in Green Bay, but man, if he did, what a pickup that would be. All right, let's take a look at the defensive line first before we go over some potential options of who Green Bay could ultimately pick up. The first thing that we don't know, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, we don't know if Green Bay is going to be in a 3-4 or a 4-3. We, at this point, just have no idea. Jonathan Gannon has not met with the media yet. Brian Gutekunst did and said that Gannon is still working through that. That's all we know at this point in time. Either way, the current defensive tackle room is set up where you have Devontae Wyatt, pass rush specialist. You have Colby Wooden, good, solid rotational, I would say number three defensive tackle. You have Carl Brooks, Warren Brinson, Nasir Stackhouse is kind of your next guys. You then have four, 90-man roster guys, future reserves, you know, signings, Anthony Campbell, Jaden Crumetti, Dante Barnett, and James Ester. Ester's been on the team a couple years now. You have LVN who can kick inside in a pinch if need be or work inside on some obvious passing downs. Jordan Riley is injured. He's going to be on the roster, I would think, but he will be on the at minimum physically unable to perform list coming off an Achilles injury that'll keep him out probably the vast majority of the year. Jonathan Ford is a restricted free agent. And the truth of the matter here is regardless of any of the, you know, reserve future guys or what happens with Jordan Riley or Jonathan Ford, they need a big time run defender. They need a run stuffer and a run stopper, especially if you go to a 3-4. What you're looking at right now in a 4-3, on the interior, you're looking at Wyatt and you need a run defender next to Wyatt on key early downs and on run stopping downs. You really could use a better run defender next to Wyatt. Wooden would be your three, Brooks your four, LVN kicking inside as well, and then Brinson and probably a rookie in Stackhouse and some other guys competing for a final spot. That to me is a good rotation. Wyatt, really good run defender, Wooden, Brooks, LVN, Brinson, Stackhouse, something to that extent. That feels good. That feels right. But you're that one guy short. In a 3-4, you really need that nose tackle. You just don't have a true, Stackhouse can't be that guy. And Jonathan Ford, even if you bring him back as a restricted free agent, can't be that guy. I feel comfortable with Wyatt and Wooden next to that really good run defender if you can find one. Carl Brooks can be one of those, you know, 3-4 defensive ends. I think Brinson can be one of those 3-4 defensive ends. Stackhouse can kind of be your backup nose tackle if needed. But once again, you need that big time nose tackle in the 3-4. So either way, I think you can pull this off, but you're one guy short. You're one guy short and you really need that really sound run defender, whether it is in a 4-3 or whether it is as a nose tackle in a 3-4. That's what they're missing. So let's start with some unrestricted free agents, some players that could potentially make sense for Green Bay. Arguably, the 1A defensive tackle who is going to become available is John Franklin Myers for the Denver Broncos, who had a really nice year. He's not a big-time name, but he is a very, very good player. But he's 6'4", 288. He's 29 years old. And let me just put it this way. He's going to be really expensive and he doesn't fit what they need. He is more of that 3-4 defensive end. He's not going to kick inside a nose tackle. They have those type of players. Would it be a huge upgrade? Yes. Are they going to go out and spend massive money to bring in a near 30-year-old defensive end when they kind of have that position covered? Or, you know, defensive end in a 3-4 or, you know, sort of 3 technique in a 4-3? No, they've got that position covered. They don't need it. So we're going to scratch the number one guy, John Franklin Myers, off of our list. Let's go over 4 players that would make sense for Green Bay, at least in some capacity. The first is DJ Reader of the Detroit Lions. Now, this is a mammoth human being, 6'3", 335. However, he's 32 years old in July. He had a 68.4 PFF grade this past year on 583 snaps. The question here, he's not going to give you much as a pass rusher anymore. The question is, does he have one more, you know, good year as a really sound run defender left in him? He's had some injuries in Detroit, has been up and down, has not really been the big time defensive tackle that they expected when they picked him up. But can you get him on the cheap at age 32 years old and find a way to kind of plug him in as that nose tackle? And can you get that one more year out of him? That would be the question. I think it's a possibility. I think you should consider it, especially if you go 3-4. There's just not many 6'3", 335 guys out there that have had his experience and can stop the run when he's playing well the way that he can. And even in his sort of down years the last couple of years, he's still been solid, better than anything as a big-time run defender that Green Bay's had on the roster. So he easily could be a name if Green Bay's willing to spend on somebody that's a little bit older, which is not exactly their MO, but we're going to go over why they might have to in just a moment. He could be somebody that really makes sense for Green Bay. We'll be right back. Well, we made it. The big game is almost here. And there's no better way to cash in during America's biggest sporting event than Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right. This week, Prize Picks has a special max discount for the big game, live in the app right now. Drake May just needs one passing yard for the max discount to win. Just add another player to your lineup, and if your picks hit, you can cash in. Now, Prize Picks is super simple to play. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. And with the new social feeds feature, you can share Prize Picks with your friends and copy lineups from winners with a single click. You can copy lineups that you like or use them as inspiration for your own picks. You can even follow Prize Picks partners like us and tail or fade our picks with just one click. One of my favorite aspects about Prize Picks is making multiple sports picks in the same lineup. With football coming to an end, I love combining basketball and hockey in the same lineup. And guess what? Baseball is going to be here before you know it as well. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. The next is a name that I've mentioned quite a bit, Calais Campbell. Now, Campbell's a little bit more interesting. He's 6'8", 282, but we're just a genetic freak, just an absolute bona fide genetic freak. At age 39, he had a 72.2 PFF grade on 524 snaps, and this is a player that can do a little bit of everything. If you're in a 4-3, he can go inside and stop the run. He can even play outside in a 4-3. He can play defensive end in a 4 or in a 3-4, or he can even kick inside a little bit at that, you know, nose tackle position. Is he ideally what they need as that true nose? No, he's not. But would he be a really fun player in either a 3-4 or a 4-3? Yes, it's 4-3, he has versatility all over the line. 3-4, he'd probably be more of those, you know, interior defenders, not the nose tackle, either one of the defensive ends. But he would give them some great versatility. And at 6'8", he blocks some kicks as well and would be useful on special teams. He is going to be 40 years old in September. However, he does have that Jonathan Gannon connection just coming from Arizona. So that is working in Green Bay's favor. The other thing, too, is he might retire. Green Bay, being the youngest team in football, going out and getting what probably ends up being, or at least is in the conversation, for the oldest player in the NFL. And I would think maybe there's a kicker or, you know, Mercedes Lewis or something who probably also retires this year. I would think he's the oldest player in the NFL. If not, certainly I would think the oldest defender in the NFL. Doesn't exactly seem like something Green Bay would do, but he's still playing really, really well. You know, he played, what, 524 snaps? I think you probably want that closer to like 400, to be honest. You probably only want him out there, you know, 10, 12, maybe 20 snaps per game up until playoff time, but he can still help any team in the NFL. He's that good. He's that genetically freaky. And if I'm Green Bay, I would absolutely consider bringing him in. The next one is probably the one that he's coming from Houston. He played really, really well. I like this idea. I don't know if Green Bay would do it, but it's Sheldon Rankins, 6'2", 305, 70.8 PFF grade on 705 snaps. So played quite a bit of snaps last year for Houston on their unbelievable defense. But another player that turns 32 in April. However, on top of his good run defending, he had 44 pressures this past year. And again, was one of the stalwarts of that Houston defensive line. He, to me, has at least a year left that he can come in, probably a couple of years, that he can come in and give you really good football. Again, is Green Bay going to be willing to sign a 32-year-old? That's the big question here. But he would fit very, very well next to Devontae Wyatt and give you an experienced, talented defensive tackle that not only can be good against the run, but can give you a little pass rush juice as well. Honestly, I thought that was one of the best seasons that Rankins had in a long time. Now, you have to a little bit buyer beware. Again, getting older, but also you take him out of Houston's defense. Is he going to be as good? Tough to say that, you know, you're playing next to Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. That takes a lot of pressure off you, but you've got Micah, Devontae Wyatt, LVN. That's a good line as well. Rankins gives the feel of somebody that would sort of complete that group. I'll just say this too, as a quick aside. I'm really hoping Gannon stays in 4-3. I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze when it comes to switching to back to a 3-4 and doing some of the stuff that Gannon did in Arizona. To me, do what you did in Philly, play more of a 4-3, keep guys the way that they're set up. And this defense feels a little bit better set up for that sort of defense. And especially after learning it under Halfley these last 2 years, to now go back and reverse course, I think you can stack on top of what Halfley's already developed and done and now add some new wrinkles to it rather than sort of starting from scratch with an entirely new defense. So I would love to see 4-3. And if you do get that, I think Rankins is a perfect piece next to Wyatt, LVN, Micah Parsons would be something that seems like it would fit very, very well. How about an under the radar one? Roy Lopez, Detroit Lions, 6'2", 318. He's going to turn 29 in August. At least he's not over 30. One of the very few. 68.7 PFF grade on 425 snaps. He is a very sound run defender. Very, very sound. Gives you almost nothing as a pass rusher. Had 13 total pressures this past year. Not his game, not his forte. He also played with Jonathan Gannon in Arizona in 2023 and in 2024. I actually think that there is a decent chance that they would take a shot at Roy Lopez. And he'd be one of those players that gets picked up and everyone's like, who the hell did they just sign? Who the heck is Roy Lopez? Sounds like a boxer or a TV personality or, I don't know, something else. Doesn't sound like a nose tackle in the NFL, right? But he's been solid for Detroit. I think he'd be a pretty good fit. Now, you want him probably more as a rotational guy. You know, if the money gets big for him, I think you probably don't maybe want to go in that direction. But if you could get him on a reasonable deal, maybe a 1 year, you know, under five, I think he'd actually be a really strong fit and would be a really nice rotational piece for Green Bay and somebody that could play that nose. It just has that sort of Detroit Lions workman-like mentality, and he's going to get in there and give you good snaps. And that's not the worst thing in the world at all. So Roy Lopez, an under the radar one. I think more where we, you know, might see Green Bay look is with some of the cut candidates. It doesn't feel like, you know, a Roy Lopez or a few 30 or 40 year olds is maybe the way that Green Bay is going to go. I will say though, almost all the cut candidates are pretty much in the same category. This is what is really a problem is if Green Bay wants to avoid 30 year olds at defensive tackle when picking somebody up this offseason, they better get ready to draft because it just doesn't look like there's going to be anything worthwhile in the free agent market or cut candidates except players that are 30 years old or older. So that's something that Green Bay might have to play with a little bit. First cut candidate that I think makes a ton of sense is A'shaun Robinson for Carolina. He, in all likelihood, is going to get cut. He is 6'4", 320. He will be 31 years old in March, 63.7 PFF grade on 702 snaps. Still a very, very sound run defender. And gave Carolina 31 pressures this past year. I think he could come in, give you some run-stuffing defensive tackle snaps. Think he'd fit very well next to Devontae Wyatt in a 4-3, or could give you that nose tackle in a 3-4. I think he makes a ton of sense. He's going to get cut, would not count towards the comp pick formula because he's going to get cut in Carolina. I don't think he's going to break the bank at age 32 or 31 in March. It might be a little bit more. It might be, I don't even want to, you know, hypothesize 7, 8, 9 million, somewhere in that range. but you could probably get them on a 1 or 2 year deal, which probably actually, you know, even if it's a 2 year deal, it probably is really truly a 1 year deal. He's a name I would really keep an eye on. Again, they'd have to be willing to take somebody over 30, but if they do, Robinson actually does make a lot of sense. How about Malik Collins? 6'2", 310, 31 years old in April. He was unbelievable to start the season and tore through Green Bay in that week 3 game for the Cleveland Browns. 74.5 PFF grade on 473 snaps, did have some injuries later in the season. Only had 28 pressures, which was shocking the way that he was playing early in the year. Did end up with 8 sacks. That's probably not super sustainable. Probably got a little bit of a bump for Myles Garrett as well. And run defense is not his forte. Also had a season-ending quad injury, but he did kill the Packers. He looked really good at the beginning of the year. You do have Micah Parsons teaming with him at some point. He'd be an interesting one. I just don't think he gives you the run defense that you're probably looking for at this point in time. Grover Stewart. Lifetime Indianapolis Colts so far. 6'4", 314, 33 years old in October. Again, over and over, over 30. He has been historically, well, not historically, but over the last 7-8 years, one of the better run defenders in the NFL. He's been really, really good, but he struggled in 2025. He had only a 57.3 PFF grade on 683 snaps and only 18 pressures. This is not a big-time pressure guy. He is a run defender through and through, and last year was his first sign of real decline and looking like he wasn't himself. You'd have to ask yourself the similar question that we talked about earlier. Does he have one more really good year of run defending in him, kind of like we talked about with DJ Reader? If you feel like it, he could either be that 3-4 or 4-3 guy that could come in and give you some really good run defense reps. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. He's been in Indianapolis entire career, right? But coming off his worst year, turning 33 in October, again, doesn't exactly sound like Green Bay's type, but if they're willing to try a 1 year, you know, deal off of a cut candidate, all right, maybe he's the guy. I should mention as well, A'shaun Robinson really looks like he's going to get cut, but Colin Stewart and all the rest of the guys we're about to talk about, there's no guarantee they get cut. So we have to kind of wait and see first, but some of these are expected to get released. The next is an old friend, TJ Slayton. 6'5", 330, expected to get cut by Cincinnati. He's only 29 in October, not over 30. Only a 44.0 PFF grade, really, for the last couple of years. That's what he's been around, even his last year in Green Bay. Played 582 snaps, only 19 total pressures. And I'll just say, and I'll go back to my grades from him in Green Bay at the end, and really what I saw a little bit on tape in Cincinnati as well. Not the run defender you think he is. He looks the part of a Gilbert Brown-type player. He doesn't play that way. He just doesn't. You know, could he give Green Bay a bigger body? And would he arguably be a, you know, a little bit of an upgrade? Maybe, but I don't think he's the player that you're really probably looking for. And he had his chance in Green Bay, really didn't make the most of it. Again, could you bring back a 6'5", 330 old friend at defensive tackle? Sure. Is he worthy of being on this list? Absolutely. I would probably go in a different direction if I were Green Bay. Next is Devon Hamilton, 6'4", 335, only a 55.5 PFF grade on 516 snaps, minimal pressures, was a little bit below average as a run defender. You might say, all right, well, that doesn't sound great. He was a pretty key piece of Jacksonville's really good defensive line. And Liam Cohen called him the unsung hero of Jacksonville's what ultimately ended up being pretty damn good defense. Because of that, if he's the unsung hero of the defense, I'm not sure they're going to move on from him. Or even if they do, maybe they try to restructure his deal, rather than just cutting him right out or flat out, right? But if he does become available, despite not having the high PFF grade, you know, and you know, being a guy that, doesn't get a ton of pressures at 6'4", 335, he could be Green Bay's type. And he could be somebody that does match up pretty well with Devontae Wyatt. Next is Dalvin Tomlinson coming again over from Arizona. I expect him to get cut in Arizona. Has that Jonathan Gannon connection. 6'3", 325, again, mammoth human being. Guess what? 32 years old this month. He's turning 32 in February. Also coming off one of his worst seasons, 43.2 PFF grade on 555 snaps, only 14 pressures, which is way down from the 30s that he's had in the last 3 seasons prior to this last year. Just did not look the same. Now, Arizona's defense sucked. They didn't have the talent. They were a team that wasn't very good by the end of the year. I don't know, maybe getting somewhere else, but he'd be playing in Jonathan Gannon's system again. It's interesting. Gannon might put in a good word for him. If so, maybe they'd consider it, but 32 years old, coming off his worst season of his career, down in pressures, down in run defending, doesn't seem ideal. Doesn't seem like something Green Bay would like to do. Next up is Devon Godshaw, 6'3", 330. Again, another big human. Guess what? 32 years old in November. 50.5 PFF grade on 455 snaps, only 9 total pressures, also was below average as a run defender. I would probably stay away. But again, you might get to the point where you're value shopping, right? If they have to value shop, some of these names could come up a little bit more. Devon Godshaw could be an example of that. And then, of course, the one that might make the most sense of all, good old friend Kenny Clark. 6'3", 314. Surprise, surprise, turns 31 in October. You may not know this, but Kenny Clark was drafted when he was 12 years old. Not quite, but he was 20. He's played a lot of snaps despite only being 31. He's played a ton of snaps, played another 746 last year for Dallas. It is going to be a little bit ironic that after making sure that Kenny Clark was in the deal, that they're probably going to release him after getting him as a key piece in the Micah Parsons trade. Did have a 67.6 PFF grade, so he's still playing well. That's better than what Green Bay had with Colby Wooden or Carl Brooks or any of those guys. He would still be an upgrade for what Green Bay has on their roster right now. And guess what? Had 44 pressures. The downside is his run defense wasn't as good. He kind of went hunting a little bit as a pass rusher, didn't hold up quite as well as a run defender. Could you ask him to come back and play a 3-4 as a nose tackle? At this stage of his career, I don't know. In a 4-3, though, putting him back next to Wyatt in a system, or at least in a position he's comfortable with going back to Green Bay, I think he could work. I think the big question, you know, Kenny did voice some displeasure of getting traded so late in the process. I don't think he was necessarily, you know, mad that he got traded, but that it happened so late in the, you know, the in training camp or right before the season started. To be fair, Green Bay would have liked to have made that trade a lot earlier as well. Just didn't happen that way. But if he'd be amicable to coming back, and if he does get cut by Dallas, could be somebody that makes sense on that defensive line for Green Bay. Welcome back, an old friend. You don't want to make it a long-term deal, probably a 2-year deal that really acts as a 1-year deal, but I could see it. I really could. If he gets cut, it's not the craziest idea in the world. And then we get to trades. So again, the unrestricted free agents were Reader, Campbell, Calais Campbell, Sheldon Rankins, and Roy Lopez. Cut candidates were A'shaun Robinson, Malik Collins, Grover Stewart, TJ Slayton, Devon Hamilton, Dalvin Tomlinson, Devon Godshaw, and Kenny Clark. Then there's a couple of trade candidates. I talked about Keanu Benton the other day. Could you trade like a Jaden Reed for a Keanu Benton? If you didn't get my reasoning, go back and listen to that from a couple of days ago. I don't want to trade Jaden Reed, just to be clear. But Benton's an interesting trade candidate. 6'4", 309, 25 in July. Only a 58.2 PFF grade on 782 snaps, but he's a lot better than that. 33 pressures, 7 sacks, and his run defense is better than it shows on PFF's grades, or I just think in general, like he's still a sound run defender. I think you could bring him in and he'd be a really core piece, but whether or not Pittsburgh would be willing to trade him, that's a totally different story. You do have Derek Harmon, their first round pick from a season ago. You still have Cam Hayward. Maybe you could coerce him out of, or coerce Pittsburgh into trading him. I doubt it, and you'd have to give up a bunch, but he'd be a name I'd at least call about. We'll be right back. Here's the big one. I literally and figuratively, here's what I would be doing if I were Green Bay. This is my guy. I would be pretty close to all in calling the Tennessee Titans on this one. Tavondre Sweat. 6'4", 362 beautiful pounds. He turns 25 in July, had an 83.4 PFF grade on just 380 snaps, did miss some time this past year, had 18 pressures, and that, again, given only 380 snaps at 362 pounds, it's pretty damn good, and he's phenomenal in run defense. You can't move him, and he's got good power, and he can get into the backfield, and he gets pressures. And so a second round pick from a couple of years ago, the Tennessee Titans have at age 25 on a super cheap contract. Why would they trade him? Doesn't make any sense. Well, guess what? Trade deadline. There was legitimate buzz that Sweat was going to get traded at the trade deadline last year. I don't know why. I don't know. You know, anytime you get to the 362 range, sometimes, you know, there's concerns. There were some, you know, there's some concerns coming out of Texas, whether he would, you know, be able to stay in shape, whether he would be super motivated and things like that. But he's been really good when he's been on the field. And I mean, really, really good. And here's the other thing. If that's not a good enough reason of why they might trade him, Robert Saleh is coming over. Robert Saleh does not go the nose tackle type. He does not go the 362 pound type. He likes guys penetrating and getting upfield. almost like two wide nines and two more like three techniques on the interior. That's the type he likes. Devondre Sweat doesn't really match that description at all, in fact. And if you go to some of the Titans boards, many of them, I've seen multiple that are already proposing Sweat trades and what they could get for him because he doesn't fit in Robert Saleh's system. This makes so much sense for Green Bay. So what would I do for a Devondre Sweat sort of deal? I'm willing to give up the second round pick this year and maybe throw in like a Carl Brooks on top of it, who fits very well in Robert Saleh's system. It's kind of that three technique on the inside. They get a little bit more depth at defensive tackle with Brooks. You actually save money because Brooks had that, you know, playing time incentive, and Sweat's actually going to make a little bit less than that this year. So you actually save money trading away Carl Brooks in that scenario. And you might say, but Andy, my goodness, a second round pick, you're going to give up a second round pick for a nose tackle, defensive tackle who's 360 pounds. Yeah. Because guess what you're probably spending your second round pick on? A defensive tackle. And you're going to hope that they can play as well as Devondre Sweat can. Maybe they can. Probably they can't. And you might say, okay, but you lost out on two cheap years of Devondre Sweat's deal. Now you're going to get him this year, next year, and then you got to pay him right away. Okay. What happens in Green Bay when they draft players? What normally takes place? They usually take a couple of years to develop. All right. We just fast forwarded the two development, you know, developmental years. We can just cut those out. We don't have to rotate them in and hope that they get their feet underneath them. We just erased the two developmental years and we got right to the player that's really good right now. I'm telling you, I am all in for Devondre Sweat. If you're going to spend a second round pick on a defensive tackle anyway, heck, if you're going to spend a third round pick on a defensive tackle, let me spend the second rounder and give up a Carl Brooks or something like that to get the better version and somebody that can come in and play right away at a really high level and give you a dominant run defender. How about a opening defensive line in a 4-3 that's a 360-pound but also powerful, penetrating nose tackle, defensive tackle in Devondre Sweat with Devontae Wyatt next to that, LVN and Micah Parsons on the outside? Man, does that sound sexy. You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like the 96 defensive line. Micah Parsons doing his best Reggie White impression, Devondre Sweat doing his best Gilbert Brown, Devontae Wyatt doing his best Santana Dotson. Now, LVN probably not quite in the Sean Jones category, but if he can take that step this year and actually stay healthy, maybe not too far off, that feels a little bit like a 1996 Packers defensive line to me. Sign me the hell up for that. I'd be all in. So again, we don't know for sure if Tennessee would be willing to trade him. And is Goody willing to give up a second round pick or better for a 360-pound defensive tackle? Probably not, but for me, hell yeah. That's what I'd be looking at. And whether it's 3-4 or 4-3, I think he fits perfectly, and I would make a serious, serious run at Devondre Sweat. So what I would do, I'd make a run at Devondre Sweat, second round pick plus Carl Brooks. If that doesn't work, I would take a look at Calais Campbell one way or the other to see if he could fit in somehow. And then Sheldon Rankins would be another one I'd look at. I'd really consider Kenny Clark and then A'shaun Robinson. All of those would be guys that I would consider to try to find something that can help you out and not just work through the draft to try to figure out a run-stuffing defensive tackle, especially if you're moving to a 3-4. What I think Green Bay will do, I think they're going to draft somebody. They want young players. I would expect either a second or third round pick defensive tackle. I bet they look at a one-year stopgap rotational defensive tackle as well. And the name I'd keep an eye on would be A'shaun Robinson. I could see them drafting somebody early, second, third, fourth round, and picking up A'shaun Robinson as a stopgap for the time being. If not him, one of the other guys we mentioned, maybe a Roy Lopez, who again has worked in the system with Jonathan Gannon. He could make some sense, especially if they're going to spend like the second round pick. Second round pick in Lopez is probably enough to get something like that done and just making your defensive line better. Is it where you want it to be? Maybe quite. Not where you quite want it to be, which is again why I would go after Devondre Sweat. But my guess is Green Bay will be a little bit more conservative, spend the early draft pick on a defensive tackle and bring in some sort of veteran. Again, A'shaun Robinson to me makes a ton of sense. All right, that's going to do it for me today, friends. Thank you for going through some defensive tackle options with me. Let me know in the comments who you'd like to pick up. What would you do? Would you make a run at Sweat or Benton in a trade market? Would you wait for one of the cut guys, bring back a Kenny Clark or a TJ Slayton? Would you go get a Calais Campbell, a DJ Reader, Sheldon Rankins in free agency. Some interesting options. A lot of 30-plus guys, though. A lot of 30-plus guys. We know that's not exactly Goody's cup of tea. If he wants to avoid that, he might need to make one of those trades, or again, probably just lean on the draft. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, the Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Lesson Eno, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, and Zillerchin. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, Go Pack Go.